You know, we come a wonderful day as we start Sunday school today. We come as a wonderful time and we gather around a table. A table that those of you who have been part of the church have seen in the front of this church for years. We just take for granted it's a table or it's an altar up front. We come, they put the bread on it, they light candles, the Bible's on it, it's a table. Yeah, we got to do this, it's a ritual. But if we think about what the meal is about, and not just the bread and the cup, but if we think about what it is we gather around as a people, as individuals who have been touched and blessed by God and whom God wants to love us in Christ, but also as we gather around the table as a family and as a people. You know, sometimes we come and say, oh, it's communion. I know it's the bread and the cup. It's a nice ritual. We do it once a month. And, you know, there's some other times we do it. It's okay. We sing some songs. But today, it's more. Today we understand it's more than just a ritual and going through the motions of receiving a loaf and a cup. There have been generations of talking about what the bread and the cup means. And I'm not talking about theology or understanding or meeting. I know many of you come from different traditions about how we understand communion. But I'm talking about us. Because without us, it's just a hunk of wood up there, you know? Without us receiving what Christ offers us in the bread and the cup, it's just from a tree. It's a piece of furniture you can put stuff on. But what we come today to say is we gather around as a family of God, to be a family. And as we come and receive the bread, we know there's life-giving power in that for each of us individually. But we just don't send out a little communion cup like communion on the run, on the go. We just don't come and say, come and get your communion this day, go home and receive it, have a wonderful, blessed time together. We come as a family. And there's something about coming as a family of God together. Even if we don't know everybody's names, there's something about coming as the followers of Jesus Christ together and receiving the blessing, the strength, and the comfort from that. I think I've messed with you a little bit today, haven't I? I mean, here we are in the beginning of September, and what is the picture I've tossed up on the screen? You're thinking, man, did I miss everything? Is it Thanksgiving already? Right? Because that's what we see. You know, do you know who did that picture? Norman Rockwell. Do you know the series it came from? He did a series of four pictures called Freedoms that Franklin Roosevelt talked about in the 40s. Freedom from want. This isn't about Thanksgiving, although it's a wonderful Thanksgiving picture. Freedom from want, freedom from fear, freedom of speech, and freedom of religion. And what I love about this picture, I mean, the turkey makes my mouth water, right? And the lady does look like my grandma. It probably looks like a lot of our grandmothers, doesn't she? But I'm not struck by the turkey and all the food and the grandma and the grandpa, but I'm struck by who's sitting around it. You look at them. They're looking out at us. Their eyes are smiling. You know there's mischief to come, right? And they're going to finish that meal and go out and have a football game in the yard, right? Or baseball game. They're going to play jokes on each other. They are a family together. And what's striking is that's what's at the center of this picture. It's not the turkey. Although I love turkey, what I really love is community of love and grace when we come together as a family of God. And when we get that, when we live in the ways Christ has asked us as community, something special happens. For us we had men on their knees washing the baseboards yesterday so that 3- and 4-year-old kids could hear about Jesus today. That's family, right? That's family. And that's what we want to be here. And continue to affirm and grow in those ways. We live in a culture, in a society that says we have freedom of choice, right? But sometimes do we choose to give up the love and the grace that comes in friendships, in family, in time together? And we say we can do it on our own. I'm okay by myself. I am strong. And we are. But if we're going to live big, like our Sunday school curriculum talks this year, it's living big with the grace of God as we worship and understand. It's living big within a community of family and friends. It's living big as we receive that. In this morning's readings today, we hear from Paul talking to the early church in Corinth. And they're having an awful time. Did you hear the beginning of that? You know, some of you come, you insult each other at the meal. Some start to eat before others. You know, in other places, Paul says, you come drunk sometimes. But let me remind you, I'm giving you what I received, this bread and this cup. It's the awesome love of God. That's your community. Live out of that. And awesome, wonderful things happen. The second reading from the story of Jesus says, you know, the family is that group of people together. Whoever they are, whatever they are, we invite all to be at, because each brings a gift to that table that they have. And once we understand that we are a loving community here and support and strengthen each other, sharing our prayer concerns, helping each other, but also sharing that meal, that love, that grace with others around us, we are a powerful force of the kingdom of God. I want to share with you just a short video. Do we have it today, Steve? Okay, well, let me thank Steve Miller. We met yesterday and we had a video we were going to show you in the sermon. About 9 o'clock last night, it came to me, that's the wrong video. So Steve was here 10 minutes early, and I said, Steve, can we do a shift? And he said, no problem. Right? We'll see. So depending on which video you see will depend on what kind of sermon you get, all right?
She saw right through me. Am I that lonely?
Gosh. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, okay.
Nice to meet
you. Rachel, how are you? Okay, let's have a prayer. Let's join hands. Dear God, thank you for this food.
Give Steve a hand. That was the right one, so you're okay. I love that. When the little girl hands the bread, you know, that's a gift. She saw somebody and understood. What's the table about? It's about love and grace and extending that, inviting in. We as a church are asked to be those people who understand that wonderful fellowship and family we have together around our dining table. As we are family together, but also that love and that grace of God. If it's just our table, it's not Jesus' table anymore. But when we reach out and see and care and love, it is a wonderful and an awesome thing. In the picture we saw, the Thanksgiving you know, the freedom from want picture. And in the DVD we saw, you know, there's kind of an idealized version, right? Because I would guess they don't put bus stops out in front of anybody's house like that, do they? And I love that DVD because, you know, those aren't professional actors either, you can tell. And that's great. That's awesome. Those are kind of idealized versions. But in our lives, when we understand that sense of community that we come from as a loving church of God, we are cared for and loved, and it lifts us. And also we can care and love and lift others as we live sometimes in difficult situations. It's a wonderful story written by a woman named Anne Lamott. Anybody know Anne Lamott? She did some wonderful writing. She's a woman who's come to Christ in a different kind of way. She had a hard time in her life from issues of addiction, from family issues. And she tells a wonderful story about finding herself, you know, just at the beginning of being expecting, pregnant, 2 or 3 months as a single mom. And she realizes at that point in her life, she needs some help. She needs to find a community to support her. And so she looks around and she finds a church in the city where she's living in. You know, a city church, an urban church, with a mixed congregation. And she said she makes that her home. And when she's 3 months expecting, she announces to the church she's a single mom, she's expecting a child. And she said the church cheered. They didn't say amen, they cheered. And she knew that was her church. They also knew in that church that she was a single mom, and right at that point she didn't have much to support herself. And she said a number of African-American women who lived really close to the bone themselves, who had a hard time sometimes making the payments at the end of the month, they would sneak up to her and put 10s and 20s into her purse and into her pocket. And there was a wonderful woman named Mary, you know, who prayed like you wouldn't believe, she said. Mary had 5 children and lived a hard, hard life. But every now and then, Mary would come with a little baggie. And in the baggie was dimes that she had collected. And she would give it to Anne. They cared for her. They loved her. And when Sam was born, her son, they would drive to church. You know, and when as a baby, they would drive to church. And she would go into the church. And you know how this works with Jamie. You know how this works, right? Well, they'd drive to church. And as soon as she'd go in, you know, nobody was looking at Anne anymore. It was the baby. It was Sam. Give me my baby. You're holding my baby too long, they'd all say. And Anne was convinced that she was just the baby chauffeur. She wasn't a person anymore. Just for those ladies. Especially Sam loved Mary, the lady who gave the dimes. And at the beginning of, you know, when they would go to church, Sam would go up to Mary and give her a big hug. And Mary would reach behind and smell behind his ears. You know, the smell of a child and how they loved each other. As Anne is reflecting on that, how there was this family of God, this table of people of Christ who accepted her and drew her in, she also tells a story about her son, Sam. And how sometimes he struggled with self-esteem, you know, caring, liking himself, those kinds of issues that all of us have seen or maybe experienced. And she tells a story about one day that her son, Sam, was invited by his friend, Josh, to stay all night. And Anne had picked them up, and Sam was excited about staying all night with his friend, Josh. But as they were driving to Josh's house, Josh said, "I'm tired. And I just want to be by myself with my mom tonight." And she said Sam's face lost all of its color. He was horrified. He wasn't invited, accepted anymore. And she said Josh just turned and looked out the window. And Sam, who probably had a little flair for the dramatic, said, "I guess Josh wish I was dead." She knew she had an issue. And she said, "You know, when your child is threatened, no matter what do you think?" And she, for a moment, wished she had a way of striking back at Josh. "He hurt my child." And so she tried to talk Josh into changing his mind, letting Sam come over. He wouldn't budge. He just stared out the window. And she threatened him. She said, "You know, there may be a time when Sam and I don't let you come to something you want to come to." He wouldn't budge. He stared out the window. Sam wasn't helping. Sam said, "I wish we were all in a car accident now." You know, rough place to be. And Anne says, "Sam, is there anything I can do? Can I pray?" And after a pause, Sam said, "Yeah, you can pray." "Thanks, son." So she says she prays to God that he might show her a way to get past this. "Help me with this." And then as she was praying, she said she realized, as she looked at Josh, that he wasn't having a good time either. Can you imagine? That he was struggling with this at the same time. And she decided in the middle of that prayer to let him off the hook. And she says visually, image-wise, she imaged herself taking him literally off the hook of her judgment. He's a little boy. Taking him off the hook of her judgment and setting him back on the ground. A gift of grace. A gift of openness. And she says, soon after that, Josh changed his mind. And said, Sam, told him he could come over and stay all night. Family. Tradition. Coming to the table. But she said the thing that surprised her the most is the next day, which was Sunday morning. She went to pick up Sam, was concerned about what happened, how things were going. Sam came down to go with her to church. She always went to church. Josh came down and said, can I go to church with you today? Can I go to church with you today? You know, when Jesus tells the story about the banquet, invite all those people, we get this glorious, idealized idea of what it means to be the people of God and the children of God and the family together, invited to the table. But when sometimes we're confronted with things like Ann and Sam and Josh, you know, that leaves our mind. That's, you know, this isn't that kind of stuff, is it? This is just everyday things. But it is. It is. When we decide, you know, when we decide to be part of that kingdom living, that table living, when we decide maybe to let other people off the hook of our judgment, to let other people off the hook of the ways to think we should do, to let other people off the hook of how we think they should be, and set them on the ground of their own integrity, there is that opportunity of relationship of love and grace. And when we do that across lines of those who are different, it is a powerful kingdom moment in which God's love and grace is there. And we know it and we feel it. And the second thing, and hear me, if you don't hear anything else I ever said today, hear this. I don't have any quantitative proof to say this is true, all right? So you might want to check me on this one. Check your heart about it, or check how you live, or check other things. But if you hear nothing else, hear this. I'm convinced that when we do what Ann did at that moment, let other people off the hook, and really, truly, in our hearts and in our souls, invite them to be loved by us and to be part of our community. When we do that to those who are different outside of our family and friends, you know what happens with our relationship with our family and friends? They grow stronger. It's not either or. You care for your family or your mission and you're caring out there. But once you establish that idea, that feeling, that part of your life that says all are welcome and loved in the kingdom of God, not only do you reach out, but those who you love the best realize and you are more open to them. And sometimes, listen to this, sometimes we can let them off the hook, our own family and friends, and be at table with them together in love and grace. Today, as we have begun Sunday school, our children and our youth are sitting around tables back there. And we pray and we hope that the second and third and fourth grade class is doing okay. Right? We pray Doug and Catherine Doug and Gwen are doing fine. We're not sure, but we haven't heard anything yet. But as they gather around table, let us make a commitment to also be those that share that love and that grace of Christ with those we know the best, but also those who are different and not the same as us. Sometimes we don't know or even care for, but who need that love, who need to be let off the hook, and who we need to love for our own sake. Let us be the people of God that gathers around the table of grace, that offers the bread, that offers the cup, but most of all, offers Christ's love. Let's bow for prayer. Loving God, we thank you for the many ways you have touched our life. And we thank you for community this day. We thank you that we are all drawn around the table of the bread and the cup, and sometimes drawn around the meal table in our homes. Help those places, those simple structures of wood, be altars of grace. And help us be those that live in that way of love and grace to those we know the best, but also to those who are in need of that love and grace in this world. All this we pray in Christ's name. Amen.